This is episode number 48 of Power to the Small Business, debunking word of mouth bunk.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Well, howdy, partner. Welcome to the big show. My name is Jay Arrett. I blog at themarketingspotblog.com, and my company website is themarketingspot.com. Today, we're talking word of mouth, social media, and bunk. Here to help us debunk word of mouth bunk are John Moore of Brand Autopsy and Paul Williams of the Idea Sandbox. A little bit later on, also, we'll have Tammy Sirik of the Optimization Summit. It's a great event I want to tell you about. Lots of events for you to learn, become a better marketer, and thus become a better business during the next couple of months. I have some announcements on those events, but first, we've got some work to do, and it's a messy job. Debunking word of mouth bunk. Well, let's jump on into the Skype line now, where we have two guests. First of all, the first three-time guest on Power to the Small Business, WOM enthusiast for WOMA. You may also know him from his blog, Brand Autopsy. John Moore, welcome back to the big show.
Hey, thank you, Jay. You know, three-time guest. I feel very honored, very honored. Thanks for having me again.
Well, you should. This show is heard worldwide, so congratulations on that big honor. And then also we bring in... I want to introduce Paul the proper way that he asked me to. So, welcome, founder of Idea Sandbox, Paul Williams.
Well, you said, how do you want to introduce me?
Okay.
So I thought, hi, Squeaky.
All right, there you go. So we're here today. This is an odd way to start the show, but we are here today to debunking all the bunk that's out there about word of mouth. And so we have two word of mouth enthusiasts on the show, Paul Williams and John Moore. Before we get started, though, let's build the foundation. Give a definition of word of mouth. John, since you work for WOMA, why don't you tackle that for us?
Okay, Jay, very basically, word of mouth marketing can be defined, again, generally speaking, as the act of giving people a reason or reasons to talk about a product or service. Word of mouth can happen online, social media, social networking, or it could happen offline, that is person to person, voice to voice.
The key of it is people passing the word about you. It's when people make remarks, it means you're remarkable. I mean, I think we can sometimes get stuck on definitions but it just boils down to what does it mean to be remarkable? So remarkable that people remark.
And Jay, I will add on to that. It is all about creating and helping to make a brand more talkable. And in the things we do, the things we would like to have done via campaigns we do, basically the end is we want to make a brand talkable, so much so that it gets a customer recommendation. So you take that from a conversation to hopefully a transaction by making a brand more talkable.
Well, let's just jump into the main bunk here about word of mouth, because it was about 2 years ago that I was hearing a lot of talk about word of mouth. Word of mouth is a very important marketing discipline. But then social media was just starting to come onto the scene. It was kind of like a whisper. Now I think that's reversed, where everything you hear is social media, and very little do you hear the term word of mouth being thrown around anymore. At least I don't hear that much. Why do you think that is? Where did this all go wrong?
Word of mouth is hard, but social media is easy. I can sign up for Twitter. I can do Facebook. It's a tactical way that people can do things that people can see. You know, you can see I have an account. You can see I've my Facebook. I can forward you. So I think it makes people feel good that they're participating. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're adding value or truly are talkable. Word of mouth, to do it properly, is something that's not just a department head. It's not just one person. It's the way you run a company.
And I'll kind of add on to that. What I've seen here is, in fact, actually, if you go on to Google Trends, you do a search, social media versus word of mouth. You clearly see, starting in 2007, social media just jumps and it spikes. And clearly, more people online are trying to find out more about social media than about word of mouth. So, yes, clearly, the conversation has swayed to people talking about online WOM. What I think that, or why that's the case in a way, is because it's so much easier to track those online conversations than it is to track the offline conversations. It's tough to quantify a conversation two people have while having dinner. It's tough to quantify a conversation back at a dinner party where you're talking about a brand you love or a brand you hate. And why I think social media gets a lot of attention does go to this fact that it is trackable, because that, I think, is so much easier for marketers to see. And you're talking about how much a conversation spreads online, reach, and how many people talk about it and how many times they talk about it, the frequency. So I think, again, it just goes back to, it's so much easier to track this online than it is offline.
Well, I want to get back in a little bit, John, to what you said about conversations. But what I see out there is kind of like social media and word of mouth are being used interchangeably, right? It's like social media has replaced word of mouth as a primary tool, and people think that you do social media and you are creating word of mouth.
Word of mouth is the original social media, because we are talking about conversations people have person to person, voice to voice, in a way. To me, there are two types, online, offline. As we've talked about in the past, far more offline word of mouth conversations happen than online. We're talking about, Calafay has tracked this, and they've said that 90% of all word of mouth conversations happen person to person, voice to voice, with just 10% happening online. People go, wait a minute, that 10% number, that's way too low. No, here's the deal. Calafay has tracked there are 3 billion plus word-of-mouth conversations happening a day. I'm going to repeat that. 3 freaking billion. Of that 3 freaking billion, 10% happen online. We're talking almost 45 million online conversations. So that's pretty gosh darn tootin' significant.
You are doing everything to get around my no profanity rule. Okay.
There's a profanity rule?
No, there's a no profanity
rule. When was there a profanity rule? What the heck?
All right.
That's bunk.
Okay. All right, hold on here. All right, let me regain my composure. Okay. So, Paul, what is the future then of word of mouth? Has it just been kind of lost in the shuffle? Because you don't hear anybody talking about, well, I hear very little conversation about word of mouth anymore. Does this mean word of mouth is now diminished, social media has taken over, and word of mouth is kind of like a stepchild now?
No, I mean, it's funny, too. We know word of mouth is the way we live. I mean, in high school, we call it gossip. As adults, you know, two people talking about something is being a busybody. I remember working in a customer care department at Starbucks, and everyone was really excited when a Harvard Business Review article came out. It was December of 2003. It was called the one number you need to grow. It was sort of the first piece documented saying, you know, if you really want to make your customers happy, it's, or if you want a great measurement of if your customers are happy, is, are they spreading the word about you? People sort of, I think, caught on to that there's something there, and started focusing on that. So I've sort of seen word of mouth as being, how do companies and businesses and people give a script to the people who might talk about you, so that way you can sort of guide the discussion. So how can I give you bullet points to talk about my brand? So that way the conversation, I guess it's a way to help you along a bit with that conversation. I think what's happened is I think everyone understands that we trust people more than we trust brands, and people talking to people is more important. But, and we do this all the time as marketers, there's the magic bullet out there, the shiny object, and that's what Twitter is, and that's what Facebook is. You know, I see Facebook as, I don't see it as a company thing, I see it as a personal thing, yet people are trying to transform it into, you know, a way to do business. We have fallen in love with these tactics, and people really want to feel like they're doing something with them, when if they backed up, they'd realize, no, wait a minute, to really truly engage our customers, teachers aren't spending time on Facebook and Twitter. you know, while they're at work, they've got other things to do. So if I truly wanted to reach that individual, there's a different way to get there. So word of mouth isn't going away. That's a fact of life. It's how we, as marketers and business people, learn the proper ways to engage our customers.
You know, I've got a slightly different take on this. Is to me, what has occurred here is that in the past, we just felt word of mouth would happen serendipitously. It would just happen. It would just occur out of the blue. We've now learned, and I think through The Tipping Point, which showed how ideas can spread, Maven salesman connectors. More people are trying to think about getting people to talk, not serendipitously, but strategically. The tough part of it comes back to the point of the businesses that get talked about, generally, it's how they do business every day. They bake it inside how they go about doing business. Go to a company today such as Tom's Shoes. Tom's Shoes is a company that's built upon buy a pair of shoes. The company is going to give a shoe or a pair of shoes to a child in need. They baked word of mouth and how they go about doing business, not just one day, but every day they're in business. Zappos has built their entire company based upon a company culture of delivering exceptional customer service. So exceptional that you want to talk about it. Those things happen both offline, voice to voice, person to person, as well as online. What has really occurred, though, is the fact that people are finding it easier to connect with customers online than it is offline. But the brands that are most endearing and enduring find a way to connect with customers both online, offline. Where customers are, that's where brands should be.
See, I think, though, that there's this, because, John, you've talked about this connecting with customers. You've also mentioned conversation earlier. Paul talked about engagement. I think there's really very little of that actually going on, and it's a rare occurrence because if you look at people put up these Facebook pages, they put up their Twitter accounts, and they use it just like an advertising vehicle. It's Tuesday night special here at the local bar and grill. We've got dollar pints. Come on out. You know, there's very little engagement that goes on through social media. So I think all we've really created here is not another channel for word of mouth or connections. It's really just another advertising medium.
Oh, it is, though. But those companies are not using it right. If you recall, there was a study that came out, two professors from Rutgers University. They went out there and they tracked tweets and they started to categorize them as types of tweets. What they found was most people, including companies, when they tweet, it's about something about themselves. They were telling people something that they are doing or that they find to be interesting, be it a company talking about happy hour happens from 5 till 8, come on down. But they also found out, though, that there were tweets from people, from companies that are share things which are going to be interesting, that are not necessarily about the person. It could be a link, or it could be some sort of factoid about the company, or it could be a direct conversation a company has to a customer. What they ended up finding was people that they labeled as me-formers had fewer friends and fewer followers than people that they labeled as informers. When you take a company like Whole Foods, I think they use Twitter brilliantly. 9 out of 10 tweets they do is at somebody. They are responding to someone online who has said something about the company or has potentially had a question out there about the company. Whole Foods will send out promotional messages, but again, 9 times out of 10, it's in response to a conversation that is currently happening on Twitter. That is, I think, a brand using Twitter correctly.
Well, what I worry about, at least on the local level, with all these businesses being told that they need to do social media, have the Facebook page and Twitter account, whatever, and the new things that are coming down the pike, is they're losing sight of what really creates that word of mouth those talkable points, which you guys have both referred to as being remarkable, you know, which goes back to the experience that the customer receives. You know, I'm worried about what effect this is going to have on the customer experience on a small business on a local level because of this focus on social media.
You know, Jay, yes, I think some people could potentially lose part of the focus of that they have a business to run and they have customers coming in that they need to make sure that get the proper type of service. And so when you think about small businesses, my advice is to first be 100% confident in how you deliver a customer experience before you start to try and strike up conversations online. Because if you are not confident, you will not want to listen to some of the negative feedback people have online about how you're doing business. If you are confident, you will listen, you will learn, and you will feel comfortable responding.
That's the secret. The secret is managing the core of your business. I think the challenge comes when your business gets larger or you're already at a big company and you forget that. And, you know, being the owner, seeing every customer coming into your pizza parlor is a lot different when you run a chain of pizza parlors and you sort of lose that contact.
Our guests are John Moore of Brand Autopsy, Paul Williams of the Idea Sandbox. We're discussing word of mouth bunk, debunking the bunk. Guys, what's some other bunk out there we need to address?
I will bring up this idea that I think what gets a lot of attention as we kind of talk about in our conversation is the amount of followers, the amount of fans a brand has. But it falls with this whole idea of what gets measured gets manufactured. It doesn't matter how many fans you have online. It really doesn't. But we get caught up into that as that's a measurement of success. And frankly, the real measurement of success is a company making money? Are they turning the conversations into transactions, which of course impacts the bottom line?
All right, so Paul, what's some bunk out there about social media and word of mouth that you want to take care of right now?
It's not to fall in love with tactics. It's not to have tactic lust. Don't trick yourself just because you're going through the motions that you've checked that box. That you know, just because you are on Twitter does not mean you've checked the box for proper conversations with your customers. You know, for small businesses, it's, as John was mentioning, is focusing on the core. Big deal if you're on Twitter, if your website's crappy, if people can't get in touch with you, if you've got inconsistent branding. So a responsible marketer will make sure they've got the foundation down first before worrying about the trendy tactics.
Okay, just a couple of quick questions here then to close up, and these will be a little bit tactics related here, Paul. Sorry about this. But if you are going to try and create word of mouth using social media, just give me a couple of best practices or tactics that you suggest that these local small businesses use.
Well, the first thing is you know, we've already established sort of word of mouth is about being remarkable. So what makes your company remarkable? Do the homework to figure out what separates you from your competition. How are you the first or the best or the only company doing something? There's a load of books out there, Zag and Pow and Wow. They've all got explanation style words, but it's about having yourself stand out. Before you sign up for any accounts or do anything, I would say, you know, do some homework and clearly see what is it that separates you? What's the value that you're providing? What's the benefit of the benefit you're providing for your customers, not just your features? How do you make their lives easier? What's that benefit of the benefit?
And Jay, I'll add on there is, to me, there's a line that I talk about a lot, and this is at the core what a company should do to get folks talking, is this idea that a company's personality is always its best way to advertise. And a personality can be shown in all customer touch points. And so what I'm talking about here is for a small business in particular, I get amazed whenever I go to a restaurant, there is a sign that says, please wait to be seated. You see that in so many small businesses. Why? Because they saw that sign in a catalog and they bought it. My advice, don't buy any sign you see in a catalog. Create your own sign. Add some personality on that sign. The men's room, the ladies' room. Do something fun there. Take a common customer experience and make it different. Doesn't have to be better. Just do something that earns an opinion. It could be as easy as just selling Coca-Cola in the small 7-ounce bottles. or just saying, all we serve is root beer. No other sodas, only root beer. And now, that's going to piss off some people, no doubt. But you know what? That's going to earn an opinion. And if the proprietor is a huge fan of root beer, let's say then that they have 10 different root beers that they sell. Diet to regular, but no Coke, no Pepsi, root beer. That's going to earn an opinion, get people talking. Again, it adds to a company's unique personality.
Final closing here, guys. Give me your opinion. How durable is social media? Are we throwing a lot of eggs in a basket here that's not going to be around for that much longer?
Social media or online conversations will continue for the foreseeable future. But the tactics are going to change. Think back 5 years ago. Are you utilizing the same things online you were using 5 years ago? 5 years ago, Second Life, I think, was getting talked about. Maybe it wasn't even new. And that lets you know how fast things go. Go to Friendster. That was supposed to be the big place where everyone was meeting and talking, conversing. MySpace, in this 5 years time, shot up and is shooting down. The tactics are going to change. Twitter is going to be replaced by something else. Then Facebook will probably be replaced by something else because everything evolves. But what will not change is the fact that people want to connect with people, be it online, be it offline. Connections will continue to happen.
Now, I completely agree. You know, what happens too is it's the early adopters to the technology are moving on and creating the new technology. So, you know, what's going to happen is as everyone is on Facebook and everyone's on Twitter, that as those become popular, just like John said, there will be a new, way cooler, neater, hipper place. If you really want to be the trendy restaurant, you go to this site instead. And I'm certain that companies are working on that at this moment, trying to figure out, you know, what is that better engaging way to get people. So
yeah, which is the same thing that currently happens now. There's always a bar that will open up and attract a lot of attention and get a lot of customers. But we know that bars come and go. But what always remains is that people want to connect with people drinking coffee, drinking beer, drinking liquor. Just the venue, the tactic is going to change. What will never change is this human nature of wanting to connect directly with another human.
Consider word of mouth debunked. Now you can find complete show notes with links and quotes on themarketingspotblog.com. Now let's talk about some ways for you to work on your business in February and March. First, my next free webinar is February 17th, Optimizing Your Online Presence. I'll show you how to use your website, search, social media, and advertising online to have a strong, cohesive presence that gets you found and encourages customers to do business with you. It's absolutely free. Registration details are found in the show notes of this podcast on the Marketing Spot blog and my company website, themarketingspot.com. We had a great webinar in January, Branding You, Revive, Refresh, Revitalize Your Brand. 49 people registered for that one. I have it archived on my website in case you missed it. It's under Learning Resources. That webinar is February 17th. It's free online. Now, after that, I have an in-person event, my Build an Awesome Brand Workshop. I talked a lot about building an awesome brand on the blog last month, and now I'm going to give you the opportunity to work on your brand. Roll up your sleeves. I'm presenting my full-day Build an Awesome Brand Workshop February 23rd in my hometown of Waco, Texas. That's on I-35, halfway between Dallas and Austin. You can drive from Dallas or from Austin, actually, depending on where you are. And if you have the inclination, you can fly directly into Waco. It's a full-day workshop where we're going to work on your brand foundations. We're going to help you build your visual brand identity. We're going to integrate your brand into the experience of your customer. And then we're going to help you with online brand optimization. It's just $199. It's limited to 16 people. Details and registration are on my website, themarketingspot.com. And then March 23rd, it's a big one, Optimization Summit in Dallas. I'm taking my full-day Build an Awesome Brand workshop, and I'm going to present it in four different compartmentalized sessions. Go to one or all if you'd like. But it's not just me. This is an incredible event for small businesses with several powerful teachers. And for a little bit more information, I asked Optimization Summit organizer Tammy Sirik to join us to give us more details. Okay, let's check in with Tammy Sirik, who is the organizer of the Optimization Summits. And Tammy, we got a big event coming up March 23rd in Dallas. What is Optimization Summit?
Jay, the Optimization Summits are a place for small businesses to medium-sized businesses to attend to optimize their needs in marketing their businesses through using a variety of sources, specifically social media.
You have an awesome lineup of speakers. How'd you get all these guys to come to one place?
Aren't they rock stars? I'm so excited. It's been interesting because what we found, Jay, in when I was talking to these guys about speaking, they became very excited about it as well because these are actually workshops. There's a lot of conventions out there that you can go to and sit and be talked at. Here, you're going to actually be seeing it, hearing it, and doing it right there on the spot. So you'll leave with a plan. So these guys were all excited because they normally don't get the opportunity to do that type of thing. They do a lot of speaking, and they get to speak for an hour or so, but they're going to actually work with you hands-on to get the job done.
So you call them rock stars. Give me a few names from your rock star lineup at Optimization Summit.
Oh, my gosh. We've got Jason Falls, Mark Collier, of course, you. And we've got John Jassett. We've got Scott Ellis. Oh, gosh darn it, the list goes on and on. There's over 30 programs. And actually, Jay, let me tell you that we did extend the early registration, until next Friday, February 5th, because I forgot to send out the reminder on Friday. So
you've got an extra time to get the early bird registration discount then.
That's correct. And they can attend for $304 if they use your code.
All right, Tammy, look forward to seeing you March 23rd in Dallas at the Optimization Summit.
Great. Thanks, Jay.
I highly recommend this event. I respect and admire many of these speakers. Now, some events you go to network and have fun. Optimization Summit will have some fun, but this is the event you attend to get some work done and make forward progress on your business. The website is optimizationsummits.com. You need that S, optimizationsummits.com. Now use the code TheMarketingGuy for an extra $25 off. That's TheMarketingGuy, no spaces. And if you register before February 5th, you can attend both days for just $304. That's pretty amazing. Powerful speakers there. John Jantz, Jason Falls, Gino Church, Eric Brown. Gosh, goes on. Matt Collier, lots of good people there. So I hope to see you in Dallas on March 23rd. It's actually March 23rd and 24th. I'll be presenting on the 23rd. Well, thanks to John Moore, Paul Williams, and Tammy Sirik for being part of the big show. Complete show notes are on themarketingspotblog.com. But I also highly recommend that you subscribe to the show in iTunes. It's free, it's easy, and in some countries, it's the law. That way, you'll never miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
And special thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of the Big Success Podcast for creating the opening and closing voiceovers of Power to the Small Business. You can find Mary Lynn at the Big Success Show, BIGGSuccess.com.